Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're trying to do this on a 3G dongle with a Wi-Fi hotspot set up on one computer, broadcasting to everyone else so that they can all come in. We've had all the audio reconnection teething issues, and we've had some video issues, and there's a hiss like you wouldn't believe in my ears. I don't know where that's coming from. But we're at the new place. But it's keyed out, look.
And then...
It's keyed out okay. It's not bad.
Not too bad.
I get to keep the blue wall, which is awesome. I'm well happy with that. Joining me to discuss the weekend tech. This isn't going to well in the four-point view because I've just got rid of two of them. But let's see if it keeps dark. No, it doesn't.
What?
Now you disappeared.
Oh, man. I can edit. Don't worry. There we go. There you go, Doc. Hello, mate. How the devil are you?
Hey, there you go. I'm doing good. Nice to see you guys again. It's been, seems like forever.
Never mind. What's been happening then? What's gone on? What's the?
It's been extremely busy. We experienced a crazy heat wave. Our country's in political turmoil, but other than that, all things are good. And I'll see you guys for like 2 weeks, and then I'll be out for like a week, and then I'll be back.
Cool, mate. So you're getting a new knee?
Yeah, bionic one. I hope.
Are you going to be? You're going to be like one of these old people. You know, be careful, mate. Don't have a fall. Because old folk never recover from the fall.
I have a little beeper thing that I can just click on, and in the fall I press it, and then somebody come and scoop
someone
me up.
Someone brings you whiskey and a sandwich of roasted meat.
Oh, the whiskey falling down is just normal. That's just par for the course.
Okay, so I'm getting feedback from the chat room about who can see what and who can't see what. Mate, that's the way it's going to be, and that's the end of it. There's nothing I can do about it. It's horrific.
What do you mean?
We won't do this next week. We'll have to think of something. August the 10th, we've got to wait for decent internet. We can manage. Next to him, Adam, how you doing, mate? Sorry we couldn't hear you earlier.
Oh, no worries. Are you sure that the hissing in your ears isn't just the drinks from last night?
I didn't have anything. I had a couple of gin and tonics on the train, and then a couple of gin and tonics when I got home, and that was it. It was okay. It was quite a reserved night, really. I'm not saying I'd have driven. I'm not saying I'd have driven, but I certainly wouldn't be. I didn't wake up feeling rough this morning.
Yeah.
What have you been up to, mate? Birthday.
Birthday.
Oh, it's getting older. It's Tom McAllister's birthday as well today. So you got a birthday in the same month.
Yeah, lots of people have the same. Have July birthdays.
Yeah, because we're all geeks. You see, all the geeks are in June, July, August.
The summer. Yeah. Summer kids.
Four times the incidence of geeks in June, July, August. All the summer kids.
What does that mean? All about?
You live somewhere really cold and your parents had a shag in the winter to keep warm.
Oh, yes.
No, it's not that. It's because we didn't fit in with anyone. We had no real...
I grew up in California.
No real friends.
Don't know. Our weather's been weird here too. We've been having a pretty gloomy August. It's kind of tropical, I guess, really. It's been a little bit steamy.
Mm.
A little bit steamy. We like that.
Maybe we got your weather and you got ours, Doc.
That's possible.
There we go. There's no point. I really can edit this week because there's absolutely fat chance of getting any lip sync. I'm wondering if you guys move once a minute.
Stay really still.
Yeah, that was close.
Move your lips.
That was close. Next to him, Chuck Joyner, the only man that wears a tie on BTN. Good man. How you doing, mate?
I'm doing good, Ewan. How about yourself? Well, I know how you're doing. You're struggling with this, but yeah, you know, it'll work out.
We've moved house. This is the first, I'm going to say, proper show in inverted commas, where we try to use the real system, but it's not going to work particularly brilliantly at the moment. So, is that a tripod behind you? You're not recording this rubbish, are you?
No, that just is an iPhone 6 Plus in an iographer on a tripod.
Are you sure it's not recording? You wouldn't lie to
me. No, honest. No, I would never lie to you, Ewan.
I've got a reputation.
To everybody else on the panel, maybe, but not to you.
Have you been well? Have you been well, mate?
Yes, doing great. Spent a weekend in Chicago at MacStock, I guess a week and a half ago, and it was a blast. I really want you to come over next year because you will have a great time.
Yeah, I need to get the pass stamped off the wife and on there.
Well, and you also need to not have it during Mac during the bash.
Well, it's 7th and 8th next year, the bash, so it's we might be struggling a bit there, I think. I don't know. Clear up from the bash, leave the wife lying there going, where's my treat now after looking after you all for a weekend? And I go, I'm on the way to America. Sorry, darling. I can't stand this, right? So they're all typing in what they can and can't see, and a Magic Man's doing it in the chat room, and he's just put down, I think the problem's mine, it might be the restaurant Wi-Fi. I'm sitting trying to correct problems that exist because he's in an Italian restaurant in Italy on shit Wi-Fi. Thanks, mate. And last but by no means least, Patrice. How you doing, mate?
Hey. Doing good. I think this is the first show since the bash, at least the first show that I've attended, right?
Well, yeah, you were in the airport.
Because I wasn't on last week.
Yeah, you were in the airport last week. And we did do one for a Google Hangout, which went all right. Not too bad, actually. Quality was decent. But we've
maybe better than this.
Oh, it's going to be definitely better than this. Christ. We might be doing the big show via Google Hangout this afternoon or this evening. Were you on holiday or was it business?
It was business. I mean, it's always, if you're in Italy, it's always a little bit of both, simply because in the evenings, I mean, you can enjoy yourself and it's just a beautiful area. I was in Apulia. But yeah, it's it was business. It was great, but it was business.
Oh, I'll list you back now. The week in Apple, the big shiz that's gone on, loads of stuff has happened. Starting us off, though, got to be Apple Music, iTunes match with audio fingerprint for all subscribers. So Apple's brought a much-needed fix. This has been a long time coming, hasn't it? There's been loads of people complaining about this because their valued songs that they have that they then signed up to match with have suddenly been replaced. And I don't know whether replaced means they've lost them forever. On that computer they might have done, they might have been overwritten. If they've got them on a separate drive, obviously they won't. But, you know, they might. Yep. Would they have lost their originals potentially in this issue? But it's been fixed, so you get your accurate metadata, which should stop you having the problem.
I think that was something that...
Go on, Doc.
I think that was something that was a big problem for the beard. He had posted up a lot of Jim Dalrymple, for the people who are not in the know of the god of all tech. He had a problem where he'd uploaded a bunch of stuff and it got like super misconfused with all of the ID3 tagging and thumbprinting and everything. And that was, you know, what put him on the I'd never want to see this thing ever again, because it kind of ruined a really big library. So, yeah, I know a lot of people after that situation. A lot of people were mad at it that they probably maybe even never looked at it just because they heard of the heart that he went through. But I have problems just because, you know, a majority of the stuff is remixes that I get from record labels and stuff like that. And they just don't properly, you know, sync up. But for the most part, I guess I've been lucky, you know, other than those, you know, special radio cuts that they send us.
I've experienced very few issues in the transition and then using Apple Music. The biggest thing that I've noticed is for stuff that is, and maybe this will fix that, a lot of things will show up kind of in the wrong album for specific tracks. So like if I have a track from an album and then it's also in like a greatest hits compilation, or even more often if it's somehow made it onto one of those really cheap, you know, like Ronco Records hits of the 80s kinds of albums, sometimes it'll show up as coming from there. It'll still be the right track, but it sort of loses its association with the original album. And I've heard other people complain about that. One of those things that I thought was, I thought it might come down to, I think licensing, if I'm not mistaken, is like cheaper on, you know, if you're not with the original label or whatever the song. So if the song was like relicensed out to some greatest hits thing, and I always thought that's what Apple was doing, was like trying to save a few pennies, but maybe it was just this metadata thing.
Patrice, you had a
point? No, I didn't. Oh, okay. I just asked whether anybody's using it, but I mean, the old guys here basically answered.
Oh, so. only the old. I don't now. Am I an old guy? Because I haven't got it. I haven't got Match at all.
Yeah, me neither. I mean, I think ever since iTunes existed, I've bought all my music on iTunes. I mean, I sold all the CDs that I have. I never ripped them because I didn't bother. And the MP3 library that I had, I just deleted because I didn't need it. And now with Apple Music, I get whatever I want. And everything else is on YouTube. So I don't even have the need for it.
And you've used €5 as dishcloths for the last 20 years as well.
Probably, yes.
You're wasting all that money just giving away something. I've got a massive collection of songs. We got all. I've still got all of the CDs up in the loft as well. I can't bring myself to give them away because I suppose I'm sitting there going, well, I know I'm breaking the law by ripping them, but if at least I've still got the CD, then I can go, you know, come on. And, you know, they still prosecute me and send me to prison. But I feel a bit more morally that I'm right. But I never went for the match route. I've just bought what I want. And I am wasting my time because actually the library I've got, I barely listen to. It's all the stuff online. And now I've got Apple Music. It's even less. So.
Yeah. So I was just going to say, that's one thing that's true is once you go to Apple Music, the stuff that I rip, you're right, I barely listen to. And Patrice, I guess I'm an old guy because the majority of what I ripped from turntable. So, but it's still like because the early rippings were from this, you know, weird concoction of how to build a, you know, a turntable to go into a mixer that comes out USB into the computer. It was kind of a process before they started making these Ion turntables and all these other USB turntables. You know, I did it the old way with techniques and cartridges. So most of that stuff I actually listen to on Apple Music now because it's cleaner. Mm-hmm. So I guess, I mean, in a way, you're kind of right. Like, it's been long overdue, but I don't know if we actually need it.
Well, I mean, what you mentioned earlier, that you have special mixes of things and so on. I mean, that I had that as well. I mean, back in the day when I was doing web radio, we had a lot of those. So I think that's a special case. If you have something like that, you will probably not find it on Apple Music. And if you care about that, then, I mean, it's good that there is this iTunes match. But yeah, for most people, I don't know whether there's any value in it.
Is this only an iTunes match thing? And is there? I thought there was really no reason to have iTunes match anymore, unless the only thing that you're concerned about is the DRM on stuff that you don't own.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, there was DRM, wasn't there? But it's gone. Sorry, mate.
Yeah, no, I don't know about that, Adam. I know that I have match because so many things I ripped back whenever. You know, I didn't rip at the highest rate because the storage issues were a lot more difficult then. So I've kind of liked the idea that match will upgrade me in that regard. I'd honestly forgot about
that. You can
DRM
still do that with Apple Music, though, too. You can do that same trick.
Yeah.
So Apple Music adds iTunes match. So maybe the fixing portion of it just became part of if you have Apple Music or if you just do match and don't have Apple Music.
There was about the time. I mean, that's an interesting point that Chuck makes about the storage volumes. But seriously, when I started ripping the CD collection I had, I was using, it was about the Napster kind of time, but there was a piece of software that you could use to rip it that wasn't, and it put ID3 tags on it and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that was that was when like a 2 gigabyte hard drive would have cost you in the hundreds of pounds. So, you know, storage at the time, was massive as an issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, now if you want to go back and re-rip, you know, that's fine, but that's going to take...
Who wants to
if you have a decent sized library, it's going to take a while.
Oh man, yeah. That's just terrific. Yeah.
I mean, I had, I think about the same time what you mentioned, you and the Napster time, I had probably like 2-3 hard drives, just music, real hard drives that I could even switch out because, I mean, I didn't have enough slots in my, or whatever, IDE cables or whatever it was at that point, to even have them connected at the same time. So what I would switch them out whenever I needed something from another hard drive. So that was definitely a concern, and I definitely didn't rip it in the highest quality possible because, storage was expensive.
Hugely expensive.
And no, Muller, it wasn't all Europop.
it was Kraftwerk.
Oh. 80 synth pop. There you go.
And exactly. And I don't know any of the German bands. Europe. They probably weren't German, though.
No, 80s. Just to detract us, and speaking of 80s synth pop, did you guys see that Take On Me Applicate AR video thing? Somebody posted this week.
I've got it to watch. So tell me what it is, because I haven't watched it, but I want to.
It's pretty amazing. It's basically, you know, the door from that video and the whole sort of line drawing technique that they did in that video. So you load up the app, the music is playing, the door gets drawn out. And when you're walking around the room, you can look through the door into that environment from the real environment. And then you can even, if you physically walk through, then you're in that environment. And if you swing back around, you're looking through the door back into kind of the real world environment. It's pretty amazing. And the whole time that Aha Take On Me video is sort of playing inside this virtual room that's inside ARKit.
Oh, cool.
It's just amazing. I'm just totally blown away by the ARKit stuff that I'm seeing. And what's amazing to me is, you know, right now we're just seeing developers just playing with it. When they start actually building stuff with this technology, I think Apple has a massive, massive head start on this.
Yeah, but it depends on use, doesn't it? That's exactly the point that you're making there. It's, you know, if you look at some of the things that everyone's gone on about, the I see a little silhouette of a man thing on Siri, and I'm kind of like, that's really gimmicky. That's not.
Well, it's that's just fun.
Crass. No, how is that brilliant?
No, I didn't say brilliant. I just said it's just funny. I don't know about brilliant. I wouldn't call it brilliant, but it's funny as all hell.
Oh shit!
Yeah, and some of this ARKit stuff is like that. But I mean, you can imagine, like, if you look at some more of the practical demos. Have you seen some of the tape measure things? Or somebody put together, literally, you can draw point to point around the edges of your room and get an accurate area, square footage, using ARKit. And it's those kinds of applications that are really exciting to me. Or imagine, like, repair manuals. If iFixit could do something where I point my iPad literally at my Mac or my iPhone when I'm repairing it, and it's showing me, here's these screws you have to remove, and it can follow along step by step. Those are going to be kind of the kinds of practical applications that I think are going to be amazing. And we are starting to see some of that. So, you know, there's the game stuff and there's the fun stuff that's just going to be toys. But then, you know, really the part of it is the fact that developers are getting a lot of the hard stuff done for them when it comes to AR and surface mapping and depth technologies and stuff like that. They're not going to have to go out and get anything else. And I think that's why we're seeing developers get so jazzed about this, because they can now focus on the applications of the technology and not have to get mired in, oh, I've got to build this whole complex system for doing surface mapping.
Yeah. There's no question it's cool.
I feel like this may be like the early days of the iOS apps, where they were one trick ponies at best if they were functional, and it was more just proof of concept and fun things. And gee, look what I can do on my phone. You know, I can play Pong on my phone. Now look where we are. So it's just early days.
And I mean, remember all the fart apps and the beer glasses and I mean, all of that. That was just, I mean, one trick things just to understand how even the platform works. And then, I mean, then we got to the hard stuff.
Right. So what we're talking about here is the creative energy and excitement that the developer community has around this technology. And that's what eventually is going to lead to really powerful and kind of amazing apps. And I just haven't seen any other company deliver an AR technology. I mean, we've had other AR applications. It's not like Apple's invented anything new here. But what they've done is they put together a platform and the tools. And in my mind, they're really the only company that can do it, because they can control the hardware and the software. They know, I mean, a big part of what makes this work is the camera sensors and the camera technology and the image processing technology that's available. And on other platforms, you got to deal with so many variables when it comes to that sort of thing. And here, Apple has taken a lot of the complexity out of it again. And what that does is that frees up developers so that what they can focus on is the creative application. They don't have to go, oh, man, I've got to build you know, a depth perception engine or find one that works, and it's going to work with the hardware that I know people are going to have. And it just takes taking that complexity out, I think, frees up the creative juices. And that's what I'm getting excited about with this technology. We're starting to see practical applications. Somebody did live real world turn by turn directions, or, you know, overlays of data and information. And I think this is what kind of Tim Cook was talking about, you know, months ago when he was saying, I think this is going to be the next big area, not VR, but augmented reality stuff. Mm-hmm. And there's a little bit of crossover too. So,
I think, I'm really excited about it. And the stuff that's come out that we've seen hints of is really, really mouthwatering. I need to see something that's not a gimmick. I need to see something that actually fits into my life and actually changes my life for the better. Even if it's just an application that allows you not to walk into a lamppost while you're sending a text or something, that would be a start.
Did you see the turn-by-turn thing that somebody did where he was in a city and you asked for directions to Starbucks, and then up on the screen it literally pops arrows, and as you're walking those arrows change. They're sort of floating in space. It's like, okay, turn here, turn there.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's cool. I like the measuring app that we saw the other week. That was really cool as well. And the zombie.
Yeah. And that's all in it. That's all enabled by the depth perception stuff. I mean, the technology to try and put, a floating arrow X number of, a certain distance out into space and have it there, and have, as you move toward it or away from it, it maintain its relative position. I mean, that's complex stuff. Yeah. That's not trivial. And developers are getting that basically for free with ARKit. So, I mean, I'm oversimplifying, but you get the idea.
No, I think that's perfectly valid. It's a great, tantalizing platform. It just has to happen.
Right. And I mean, just look at how fast all those videos, all those demos came out. I mean, it was literally within, I think, a week we had the first, even if they were very simple examples, but they were the first examples. And then, as the weeks went by, we got more and more and more stuff. So I think
that's a great point. We're not even 60 days out from WWDC or from Worldwide Developer Conference, I don't think.
And know that people, developers are hiding their best stuff. I said, the developers are hiding their best stuff because they don't want anybody stealing their ideas. So until they're ready to launch, some of these things are just like eye candy, but I firmly believe that somebody's going to come up with something that's just going to blow us all away.
I mean, it might just be the stuff they try just to get an idea how the technology works before they go into their real apps and what they really want to do with it, just to understand the technology. And you can put that out because it's great marketing right now for you.
Excellent.
Yep. Muller in the chat room says, no, Patrice loves the Hoff.
No, I don't.
And I was going to put Scorpions, but I couldn't remember the sodding name. So,
it was his birthday just this month too, like last week or the week before. I think the 21st.
Who's Muller's?
Just FYI. No,
Hasselhoff. Yeah, no, okay. I don't care. John Belton put a link in the chat room or another comment. He asked if Patrice was Austrian, based on his tendencies to invade everywhere, I guess. But here's the big thing. John, is he with us? Here he is, look, down there. There you go, wave to the camera. Good lad, that's better camera technique than Muller's ever had. John's come all the way from Australia to visit us.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And thank you.
Well, no, he's come to Preston first for a wedding, so we're not that honoured. And then he's heading back to Preston tonight after the last show. Whatever time that is, it could crap out and fall over well early, mate. So you might be away soon. Don't worry. And then
Preston North End.
Yeah.
Preston North End. That's right. It's actually called Preston North End Nil.
I just only know that from Manchester playing in a League Cup.
Yeah. So, John, welcome, mate. You'll be taking part in the big show a bit later on. It's good having you, mate. Thank you for coming all the way from Australia just to come and see the new studio. You're our first guest, mate. Awesome. Apple has discontinued the Nano and the Shuffle.
Well, about time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I was expecting that years ago, and they kept them around for so long.
It's the nose.
I mean, they're still selling something that's called the iPod, which is the iPod Touch.
But, you can tell he's German because there's zero sentimentality in Patrice, is there? Nope. There's no, I'll tell you what, I remember right when...
To be honest, that's actually the opposite of what most Germans are like. Most Germans, I mean, they like their old tech and they want to, they don't like change, so...
Well, they like the mullet and David Hasselhoff for a start, so...
Exactly, so...
Has anyone got a lament for the... Because I remember the... Because there was the Classic, that was a quality machine, because you could link that in and use it as an external drive. And then the Nano, when it had the screen on, that was just brilliant, because you could watch a movie on it. And I think it was about the time of Finding Nemo came out. I remember watching Finding Nemo on
a 2-inch screen.
And it blew my mind at how clear it was though as well. And then, of course, I realized, you know, logically, it's taking all the pixels and it's shoving them in a smaller space. It's going to look sharper, but it did look incredible.
Oh, yeah. Yes. It's a great looking screen. So I've got a stack of iPods.
I've had the Nano since it was, you know, rather large. And then the little product red one, I have one upstairs with the cracked screen, which is super funny how I cracked it. I love that because it was the best iPod for the car because it wasn't as subjected to the overheating. And, you know, the center console in any car, it fit perfectly in the center console. I can run a little cable out. At that time, you had to run the cable to the back of the deck, you know, for the auxiliary imports before everybody started making actual auxiliary imports on the actual deck. One day towards the end of its life, I was just jumped in the car. I loaded up some old songs. I think I wanted to hear Van Halen or something. I loaded up, stuck it in the center console and went to go slam the console shut. And I guess I hit the wire. And it moved the screen right to where the little nugget that clips into the console to keep it closed and completely smashed the screen, but it still worked. And luckily my head deck could read, you know, can still read everything. So up until literally like a year ago, I was still using my Nano, even though I couldn't see the screen because it was just great for the car.
I disagree with Paul Dixon though. The little square one wasn't my favorite one.
Really?
I like the one that Doc is talking about, the taller one that they went back to.
Mm. Yeah, I didn't like this one either. It was weird in the hands.
Okay.
Yeah, there was like no place to kind of hold it, and it was just strange.
Mm. My green square one is somewhere right nearby me, but I just don't feel like moving it around. I have it somewhere pretty close.
No, he's talking about the even smaller one, I think. The little
the one that was
square with only a touch screen. The fat Nano. he's talking about, I'm talking about the one that was perfectly square. It didn't have a click wheel and it was touchscreen only. People wore it as a watch, pre-Apple Watch.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yep. No. Yeah, I remember that one. Yes, they actually brought out straps for them, didn't they? That you neoprene thing that you stuck it into, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that...
Yeah, I did not like that one.
Personally, I like that one the most, I think, because I always wanted something like a watch. I mean, and I think this was the first precursor to, I mean, what we now know today as the Apple Watch, just from a idea perspective. And I think that's why I like the watch one.
Yeah, so you know what? This is an interesting thing because the number one complaint that I've been receiving in my inbox since this was announced, and it was just yesterday, but I've had a number of people write in and say, well, this sucks because the Nano or the Shuffle was the thing that I liked to take to the gym. And I didn't think about it till just now because I was like, oh, yeah, I can understand that. But, you know, from Apple's perspective, they're going, you know, replacement. I think in Apple's mind, the replacement is the Apple Watch, right? Because you can put 2 gigabytes of music onto your Apple Watch.
Pairing the AirPods to the Apple Watch and then just going out for a run without the iPhone and anything. I mean, that's what I'm doing. I think that's exactly what Apple is thinking.
And you know what happened recently when I did the beta update recently, when it finished like reloading, it does all the stuff, make sure you put in your password and all that. As soon as it's done, I saw a message I had never seen before. It goes, hey, would you like to pair some music to your Apple Watch? And I was like, no, sucker, I'm about to ride the bike. Just go to workouts. But it was like asking me a bunch of questions. And I just, you know, finally able to swish it away. And I haven't been able to relocate that screen again. So maybe on the next beta update, it'll ask me again. And I'll actually try moving some things because that'd be really, you know, a little handy. And I think Patrice is right on that point of like not really needing it because of the watch. And this might be one of those things where we seeded it by like, I just sent you in a link to Macworld UK, where they were showing the nano watch bands. Maybe we seeded that whole turning into an Apple Watch thing because everybody was so into turning them into watches. You know, it's like, oh, people are going to buy this. Maybe we should just go ahead and make a real one.
Yeah,
that'd be good.
Yep. Who knows? I
miss my white shop, though.
Yeah, no. I've got two of the piano black exploding ones, and I didn't take them back when they did the exchange on them. I thought, no, these are going to be worth something soon. I might die one night when they go off in the lounge or in the cupboard that they're in or something and choke us all to death on our own smoke. But
so that's just it. How many of you have I have a stack of iPods probably a few inches high, you know?
Yep.
Does everybody have a whole like collection in a drawer somewhere?
Somewhere.
Yep. I pretty much had everyone ever made except for two.
Somewhere in the studio, I've got socks. I've still got a couple of socks.
I haven't got... you're the one guy who bought those.
Oh, no. Ellis wore them when he was a kid. I put them on Ellis's feet as actual socks.
That's funny.
Yeah. Set him out in his iPod sock. I love those socks. They were awesome. They fitted an awful lot of phones for an awful long time.
Yep. They gave us ours at the store, and they were just really, really cool way to carry your iPod around.
What I used to get? Is that like how to stay cool? Oh, are those your iPads nano socks? No, I was given them. Honest. I didn't buy them, honest.
No, what's funny is, you know how there's a joke about getting socks for Christmas, right? So Steve and the crew thought it'd be cute to give us socks for Christmas. So we all got iPod socks. I thought it was kind of funny. But I think the thing that was the most impressive was back then, the thing that I used to get so mad about was when you got that first scratch on an iPod. I would be so mad. And then I would get out car polish and everything and try to like work it out. And so if it was on the metal side with a little bit of mothers or, some sort of, one you use for your rims, you can normally get rid of it. You could bring it back to that perfect shine. When it was scratched on the front, you would be so irritated. And there would be tons of companies selling iPod polish kits in order to try to bring them back to life. There was a company called D-Lo. I don't know if you guys remember D-Lo. They were a big accessories company for a while. And I bought some like $60 polish to try to get scratches out of my stuff, and it didn't do a damn thing.
I think Radtech still sells it.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right, Adam. I forget what they call it, but yeah, they've got something that
it's like Apple polish or something like that.
Oh, is that the green one from Macworld that actually smells like apples?
Probably. No.
One of many.
You remember those guys, right? They had a big booth next to OWC, and they actually had this stuff called apple polish, and it actually smelled like apples. I thought it was super gimmicky.
It was called ice cream. I think they still sell it.
John Belton, another 17. John's just asked Adam in the chat room if he gets email every time Apple changes them. Let's put yes, because apparently it's my fault.
It is always my fault. Anything Apple does, anything somebody doesn't like.
Is it because you give a comment that says, you know, this is the right thing to do, and then everyone's like,
no.
What I get.
I think people think that I have some sort of pull or some sort of connection at Apple. They often do. It's not just me. I've talked to other people in the Apple, media community, and a lot of us get that. I think what it is they think that we can be a vehicle for their complaint into Apple, which is funny because it's none of us have any.
Tim listens to our show.
We can't even get Apple PR to like write us back, so.
We used to get emails. Can you guys tell Apple that so-and-so isn't working? And I'm like, what? We don't. And especially because it says the unofficial Apple weblog, but for some reason, people would just take that for official and Apple. And so they would literally send us like messages they want us to hand deliver to someone down the hallway.
It's a conspiracy theory back channel.
Yeah. So I usually just reply and say tcook@apple.com is your best bet.
Yeah. Because
it's feedback@apple.com.
Because you know he's actually probably got UncleTim@apple.com or something like that, so that no one actually.
It goes to his people, and they sort of flag things, and he does get a good portion of it, from what I understand. And so did Steve.
He probably has a good filter. Anything internal is automatically sent somewhere else, and that's all.
I mean, that's a tradition that's carried on from Steve, I think. I mean, Steve was classic about like emailing people in the middle of the night back on things.
Yep.
Yeah.
And not even sometimes. Short emails.
No. Tim's
although he never used asshole. What was his favorite? His was
I'm sure he never used either.
So. Idiot, I think.
Never mind.
Bozo.
They've changed the pricing on the
Bozo, that was it.
iPod Touch. Yeah. I'm gobsmacked they didn't can the iPod Touch at the same time as all the others. But that's disappeared now too. 16 gig has now become a 32 gig and is 199 still. The 32 gig has dropped from 249 effectively then to 199 and been replaced at 299 with a 128. But the 16 gig is gone completely. Well, that's logical. But they've capped 64, which I find interesting. Do you think there's a whole...
Well, because isn't the 128 the same, basically the same price as the 64?
Yes. But you wouldn't have thought... Do you think they just did it because they couldn't get a differentiator? But because $100 is a massive leap when you could put 64 in at... 249, surely. They've got a hatred of 64, haven't they?
Well, because you're going to get an extra $50 because people are just going to bite the bullet. I mean, this is classic Apple, yes. And it's how they maintain their profit margins and stay profitable, because they know that you're in the store and you're looking at it and you're like, you want to go to the next level, and you're just going to fork it out.
It's the Rome without coffee phenomenon.
I've got 32. Right. The kids have both got 32 gig iPad Nanos, and it's not because I was tight; it's because that was actually a fairly decent size at the time. But now it's just horrific and pointless. Bryony's like constantly, "Can I?" And she's deleted all the videos of her pretending to be a YouTube star, and she still hasn't got enough on there, and she hasn't got loads of games on there. She hasn't got loads of video. Hasn't got loads of photos. It's just crap. Pointless.
Yeah, my kids have given up on their iPad minis because they bought them themselves and they could only afford 16s, and they're just not, it's just not enough anymore. So they use the hand-me-down iPhones, of course, because the ones I buy were always the biggest ones. So they're 64s or 128s.
You said they've got 16s, not 32s.
They bought 16 gigabyte. Man. They have original iPad minis, the version ones. Well, again, they saved up and bought them themselves. So it was what they could afford.
It's good that they bought them, because then it saves you from bad Father of the Year award for buying them 16 gigs. Well done, Adam.
Well, I even offered, it's funny, side story, one of them, I offered to sell at a discount my handed down, and I think I had a 128, but she really wanted a white one, not a black one. So, hey.
Wow. There you go.
Lesson, it's a good lesson, right?
Yeah.
But that's also really interesting, Adam, that, you know, it's one more example of a certain audience having a fashion over function. You know, that always blows me away that, you know, people they may want a certain configuration. They get to the store, they don't have that, but they have the other one in a lesser configuration in another color. And, you know, no, they go for the color. They don't go for the function.
Yeah. But, I mean, we all do that at some point. I mean, I bought the black MacBook that, I mean, had nothing else. I mean, it cost more, and it was just another color. There was nothing it could do better. I mean, it was really just black. So, I mean, I've been there. I've done that.
Patrice, the only place...
fashion and sometimes, I mean, how it looks are important. I mean, I think that's also why we probably like Apple products. It's not just that it's great hardware and great operating system. It's also that it looks good.
But Patrice, I'll argue with you on the black MacBook only for the same reason I might argue on a white iPad, that at least for me, I like, it's a visual thing. I don't want that bright white border around everything. I didn't want white anywhere near my screen. I wanted the black because it looks better to me. Not the case, but the actual screen without the distractions. So for me, it was a functional thing when I bought the black MacBook.
Yeah, but you could also argue that that was also kind of a fashion thing. I mean, not liking white and preferring black. Yes, it has some benefits, but
yeah, some, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I didn't buy the MacBook because the screen wasn't any better or it looked better or anything. I bought it because I wanted black.
I got a thing from my father, which you know, I thank him for now. I didn't particularly thank him for it at the time, but it was, you know, never buy what will do, buy what's right, buy what is the thing that is the right thing to buy. Don't buy cheaper just because you want it in your hand now, that kind of stuff. And I've kept that,
right.
I've had that since I was a kid, and I've really liked it. And I'm in the throes now of you know, Ellis is just like, but that's available. It can come tomorrow. I'll have it now on Prime, but it's not what you asked me for. Doesn't matter. That will do. Yeah, but if you buy that, you'll still want the other thing, and you've wasted your money then, dude, because this is your money, not mine. That's really hard to get over at the moment. And to a certain degree, that's the thing is with Apple, that's what saved me from being bankrupt through buying Apple products. Because I look at it and go, this isn't exactly what I want. I'm not buying it, plain and simple. I can resist the urge for a while. Mm-hmm.
Anyway. And again, with my kids, is like, you know, you can offer the advice, which I did, but ultimately I've just found you got to let them take that lesson and, you know, certain life lessons that are best learned by experiencing them. And that's worked out, you know, it for me at least.
Yeah, you have to make your own mistakes.
Florida company has sued Apple, says that Apple's TV What Did He Say feature copies its movie software. Florida company Custom Play filed a patent infringement lawsuit against Apple today, claiming the Siri feature that allows fourth generation Apple TV to rewatch a portion of a video with closed captioning copies its movie compromises its movie companion software.
Did they sue Amazon, TiVo, and everybody else too? Who?
It hasn't mentioned that in the same feature. It doesn't say that they've put that in, but they've cited it. But it's not been given to a judge yet. It hasn't made a court. It's just
it won't go to court, and they know it won't go to court, which is why they file it.
Just get a few bucks and put it back in the sofa.
Yep.
I can't actually see whether this firm has actually made the software and distributed it and tried to make a business out of it, or whether they're just being trolls.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter.
In the US, it doesn't matter.
No, I know, but morally it matters.
Morally, it matters.
If they've done this and they actually produced some software that did this, that they tried to make global or tried to sell, even if they didn't sell any of it, I think morally they're right. That's got no problem. But if they just came up with an idea, I'll tell you what if you clicked a button and said, show me that again, it did it, then that's bollocks. You got to actually at least, that's where they need to deal with patent trolls. Patent trolls need controlling. We said about this a couple of years ago, but there needs to be did you at least try and build one and sell it? Because if you didn't, I'm sorry, you don't get to keep your patent.
All right, so I'm going to check it out. I'm looking at the Apple Store right now, and it's a free app that's in the Apple Store on for the iPhone. That looks like the last update was April 2016, so they're obviously either not selling it or not producing it. Plenty of people put things in the Apple Store and then stop messing with it after that. Looking at the version number, they only put one version in the Apple Store, so I don't really, I'm gonna have to agree with you. These guys are probably just came up with an idea, didn't really work. I don't see any reviews. Hold on, let me double check this. Not a single review other than their one friend. So if you have an app in the App Store and you got like one review, that's the week before your last update. And the review simply says cool stuff, smiley face. No, they're straight up top to bottom trolls.
Well, no, I mean, Ewan's point was they built it. They did try to do something with it. Came up with the idea and let it sit stagnant.
We're going to define it. Let's define it, right?
Hang on. So you're calling troll then, Doc?
No, so what I'm saying is, let's define build, right? Like, right now, in the middle of this show, any one of us could open Xcode, put a couple of screens together real quick and say, save this as a project, and using our developer accounts, upload it. So there is built and it's an app and it's a store. It doesn't function. It doesn't do what it's supposed to do. It doesn't do anything. It just has the Illustrator screens, you know, or Photoshop screens, or even the stuff you just build in Layout Designer. and you press go. There's tons of apps like that in the App Store. And so I know that used to be one of the complaints about the inflated app count. You know, when they go up there and say, we got like 83 billion apps. Well, a lot of those apps are like single screen apps that are calculators, which you really need to build a calculator. It doesn't do any more than the built-in calculator. It doesn't really count, but it's great for the numbers in the App Store. So if this app is like that, and I mean, I'd be willing to download it and try it and see if it works, but I doubt it's going to work because it probably does. I mean, this came out for iOS 7. We're on 11. So it might not even work. So in that case, then they're trolling. Like, yeah, they're not making any money out of it or doing whatever. They're just kind of being douchey.
So keep in mind, this is a patent from 2000. The patent was issued in 2002.
They've got an issued patent, and they've tried to build something. And if they had tried to build it, Doc, would you change your tune? Would you be saying, yes, it's fine?
If they built it and it worked.
Well, you don't know that it doesn't. You don't know that it doesn't, though.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'll download it and try it and see if it works just to see if there's trolling or not.
And just to your point, Doc, and what I was saying, I mean, this could also just be an alibi thing. I mean, I can build something. I mean, what you said, I don't need Illustrator screens. I can build something in for a couple of hours that does something. But if I put it in a store, and I mean, I don't do any advertisement. I put it there so I can say there is something there, but, well, nobody knows about it, so nobody will probably discover it. I can not have any really meaningful tags on it so people won't even be able to search it and all of that. That's not even using it. I mean, it might be fully functional, but it's just there so that I can claim, I did something with it.
I think I got most of that, and I'm hoping the rest of you that are listening got most of that, because I got most of it.
It was kind of...
You're a bit choppy, mate. Go on, Adam. You were saying agreeing with Ewan.
So, I mean, again, looking at the company's website, it looks like, and I'd have to go back and see when they first started doing it, but this technology was built into their DVD player software for PC. So, you know, it sounds like it was something they had implemented and put together. I don't know how old this software is. I can't find a date on it yet. But, I mean, I'm willing to take them at face value that they got a patent on it in 2002 and that they used it. And again, I think they're looking at it going, well, we kind of did this. We have a patent on it and we're going to file a lawsuit because that's how you have to do sorts of things. And, you know, and we don't know the backstory. They could have maybe already went to Apple and given them a chance and said, hey, we think you're infringing. Are you going to pay for this? And Apple said, take a hike. So, you know, there's a lot of times these things come out and there's a lot of details you don't know about. But as far as that measure that you're throwing out there, Ewan, it looks, at least on the surface,
they've tried.
Have been using this technology and they do have a valid patent on it. So I'm going to side and say they probably are not just, I mean, look, they want to get money out of Apple. So I guess it depends on how you want to define troll too, right? And that's kind of what we're talking about. In my mind, this isn't maybe patent trolling. Apple probably should have done some prior art searches and they probably should have went to them up front and said, look, we want to license this technology from you or we want to pay for it. But again, Apple's a big company and if they can get away with it, they're going to try to not do that.
We'll see.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure they have a whole team that does exactly what you said and then decides that this is easily defensible. So let's keep doing what we're doing. This is not defensible. Right. Let's hire by them. I'm sure there's a decision there that sort of works in that route. And one thing I will say that does take back some of the trolley talk, they didn't sell this to some other company and that other company is then trying to sue Apple. Like, you know, nobody, Texas didn't buy a bunch of crap and then try to sue Apple.
No, that's different.
And I mean, you have to sue Apple at this point because if you don't, then the patent that, I mean, you've paid quite some money for it is invalid, basically.
Yeah, no, quite right.
If you don't defend it, then what's the point?
It's gone, yeah, absolutely.
Just FYI, this piece over at at 9to5 Mac says, you know, the court filing documents does say that they contacted Apple in 2014 about partnering on the technology. So supposedly, before they filed the lawsuit, they did try and do something with Apple.
Oh, that's interesting.
The other thing that's funny, this is something I've never seen before. Now, you guys tell me this. All right, let me get my thought in a sentence. This looks, it looks both fishy and not fishy at the same time. And here's why. I haven't gone to any software application anywhere and seen a link on the website that says patents and then list the patents. So I can't see when his page was like, they actually have a list on their primary menu bar right at the top, right before news and about us. And it has their like 20 whatever patents on this page. I've never seen anybody do that. So, I mean, yeah, it could all be up and up and up, but it's really creepy that even some of the biggest people, you've never seen them put their patents directly on the website, unless they added this last week when they tried to sue Apple.
Qualcomm they probably has a whole did building that just dedicated cut down to on them with a video inquiries. Wall. On their campus.
I'm looking at the HTML code to see when they edited this page last.
This has got to you, Doc, has it? You're more bothered than the rest of us are. We just wanted a general shoot the brains about it. But
No. I just think it's an interesting conversation because, like, if it's from what it looks like on the surface, these guys sort of get a B plus in the patent thing. So, you know, kind of let them go at it and see what happens. But the guys that just troll stupid stuff like, oh, I had a patent before that says I had a button on the side of a phone that would turn it on and off. And they try to go after people. Those guys are irritating. These guys are probably on the up and up. It's still, you just never really see. But Chuck had a good point. Maybe it's there just for the reporters.
We'll see. This podcast, Nillers, is brought to you by UK2. They're awesome. We've renewed a whole pile of stuff with them this list this week. And there's a few people have tweeted out that they've renewed their stuff or they've bought new stuff using the discount codes from UK2 and through BTN. If you get anything for the web, VPS, VPN, that kind of stuff, then please check out UK2 because they do a wonderful job keeping us afloat and keeping all the bandwidth pouring out and you guys look after them as well. They're really chuffed with what you've done. Hoya as well support us. This is me looking at the Uniku thing at the glasses eyewear show. But this is me the other day getting fitted for real. I've gone and had my face scanned proper for me Uniku glasses. We went up to Hoya on Monday and Tuesday. They took us out for a wonderful curry at a place called Akbar's in Manchester, which was gorgeous. I now go to the second best curry house in the world because it was absolutely stunning food. You might have seen us drinking a lot of shots, but they were actually just beer. We weren't really drinking shots. And there's me with my glasses on, the ones I'm going to have. They're on the way. They're being made far away in... I can't remember. They did tell me where it was made. Belgium. There we go. They're being made in Belgium by Materialise. And they're being cast out of polymide something or other super material. It's great. It's fantastic. Uniku is the way forward. The first Uniku machine is going into Northampton this week. So there's a place in Northampton that's got them. And also, I've got some driving glasses from them that I'm going to review. And these are my driving glasses. There we go. They cut away all the nasty, harmful blue light that dazzles you and stuff like that. And they showed me a little thing with a pen torch that was pushing out blue light. And it's pretty amazing how much light it attenuates. They're really, really good. And I've been wearing these all the time because I can wear them for day use as well. I don't have to just wear them for driving. The only thing to say is the world gets really yellow with them in. And then when you take them off, the world's really blue and bright. But they're nice. They're really nice. They feel great. And I like the frames as well. They look all right. I'm happy with that. Right then, chaps, time for the cool thing. Doc, do you have a cool thing?
Yeah, I got two quick ones. The first thing, if you're a music person in any way, shape, or form, you need to get on the HBO free trial if you have to and check out the Defiant Ones, the inside story between Dre and Jimmy Ives, sort of foray into music all the way up until getting purchased by Apple for what is technically known as a metric shit ton of money. It is so amazing. It's so many chicken skin moments. It's so many, like, if you're OG like me, there's so many, oh man, I remember that track when this was happening. And the way that Alan Hughes tells the story, without giving away any spoilers, one of the coolest things that I saw is he'll be doing a conversation and he's talking to Dre about, you know, working with, say, Snoop and Warren G. And Jimmy will be talking about sort of working with, say, like Marilyn Manson and Trent Reznor. And one of the things that they do is while Dre is talking, they got like a Marilyn Manson track or a Reznor track playing. And then when Jimmy is talking, first of all, the transitions are on the same set of words. Like they blend them where a certain set of words kind of go in the right position, like Lollapalooza. They'll switch on that word. And then you'll hear the hip-hop track playing behind Jimmy talking, and it's just this weird foray into the music industry. It's just really good. So please check out the Defiant Ones. You'll not be disappointed. It's super epic. Now for my nerdy thing, I wanted to tell you guys about Unraid. I just built this thing. It's like building your own Drobo. It's really, really cool. It's a little bit of work getting it together, but it's not super difficult. But it brings things together like network attached storage, right? You can also use it as an application server, and you can also use it as a virtual host. And the example that I saw, it was DeadMau5. He has six guys rendering some crazy 3D stuff, but they're all using virtualized OSs all off of this one master box. And I mean, it runs everything from like Windows 8 to OpenELEC to StreamOS, Plex. Like, it's pretty insanity. So it's like, you know, Drobo and Drobo apps are, you know, CentOS and CentOS apps, but on steroids. And it's relatively free for the 30-day trial or basic one, which holds like six drives, is 59. 12 drives was like 89. And we bought the Pro at 129. And right now I have seven drives in this machine, and it's insanity, but it's infinitely upgradable. Definitely one of the coolest things. While we were doing the show, I was moving a bunch of media from my computer over, and like it copies a 2 gig file across the network to the box in under a minute.
Excellent.
Ow.
Sounded good. What was that?
Wasn't me.
Anyone falling over? I thought you might have fallen over and damaged your knee and you were never going to recover.
No, I thought the Unraid got somebody mad excited and they caught it under the tabler.
Chuck, you haven't had a fall, have you, mate? No, Chuck's not had a fall.
Everybody's still up.
No, he's a bit still. Are you all right, Chuck?
Yeah. I'm just patient.
You're just still. That's all right. You've gone really still. Your video's frozen because we're trying too hard here with the shebang. Oh, never mind. We're nearly there. Mac, Cast, Adam, Christensen, what have you got?
All right. I'm gonna go out on a limb and actually pick something that I haven't used in a while, but I just rediscovered and I'm going to be using again because it was awesome when I did use it. It's something that I think I need to use, especially since I've been going through reviewing a lot of my insurance coverages, especially around my Mac equipment and stuff like that. With my insurance agent, and it's an application, it's been around forever, called Home Inventory. I actually think I gave away copies for the 100th episode of the MacCast, if you can believe that. It's from a company called Binary Formations, and what it allows you to do is there's a Mac app, which is kind of like a database, and then there is a companion app for your iPhone that allows you to walk around your house and using your camera and your voice enter items into the inventory system. So it's an inventory system for keeping track of all the stuff that you have, that you own and is in your house. And you can also put in your policy, your insurance policy information. You can scan and put in your receipts so that you have like everything in one place. So if you do unfortunately have a disaster, something gets stolen or your house gets broken into or burns down or something like that, you have a record. And in case you're wondering, well, what about the data? There is also cloud syncing options. So you can sync the data in the library up to your Dropbox or your iCloud or wherever that might be. So you can get it all back. And I'm just looking at some of the demos and features in here. And this thing has been really expanded out from what it was when I used it in the past. And like I said, it was great then, and it only looks better now. So you can put in all your house information and all your data, and it just keeps all your data and records in one place so that you know what you own. You can also use it, I guess, to kind of track your spending and the value of everything you have, which is kind of hard to do, but this makes data entry and putting that all together pretty simple. So it's Binary Formations. It's called Home Inventory. I think it's $29. Oh, and I forgot the last best part. If you, and I know this keeps coming up over and over again, but it is amazing. If you are a Set App subscriber, it's part of Set App. So you may already have it for free or for as part of that $9 a month, $10 a month.
Like that. Good one. Put links in the chat room, chap, if you can.
I just did.
Chuck, just did. You're all frozen up, mate, but go ahead. Tell us. I hope you're not showing it.
Yeah, well, I was going to show it, but you won't have any trouble finding it. And that's, before I do, I want to back up Adam's statement. I've had them on my show several times. Really great, great piece of software. And being in the insurance business, the more information you can gather up to help the adjusters should anything happen is just a godsend, because it'll make life easier for them. It makes life easier for you. So, you know, by all means, please check it out. But MyTech is a tile, just in case the video would come back. I'm holding it up. You probably have had this recommended on the show before, but I've been doing a bit of traveling this summer, and I've equipped all my bags, my backpack, everything I can possibly think of that may leave my hands for any protracted period of time with a tile. So I can track it, find it. I'm happy to say I haven't really needed one, but it also has definitely helped me confirm that, say, my luggage actually did make it through to the airport, because it will show up when I go to baggage claim. You know, my tile is nearby. Okay, that's good. I know it's not headed to Connecticut or something. These are just great little devices. They're a little bit larger ones. If you can use one of the larger ones, I strongly suggest it, simply because the battery life is a little bit better and a little bit longer. But you can also get the small tiles for something like your keys. I've given tiles as a gift to my girlfriend and my sister, who both are forever losing their keys, and they have used it several times because you can summon your tile, beat your tile from your Apple Watch or your phone, and then know where your keys are. A little thing, but I've lost an awful lot of my life to people waiting for them to find their keys. So this makes a great gift too. And I'll put a link in the show notes, in the chat room. Tile, great little device.
Excellent. We got your video back cool. Just in time to show it. And I'll put a little link in the chat room to a bag on the bag.
Thank you. Just in case didn't show up before.
What's the battery life on them like? I bought the tracker.
A year, give or take.
That's all right. Are they rechargeable, or is it
you have to. Basically, you can't crack them open. You just have to buy a new one. If you are worried about this kind of thing, as far as I'm concerned, it's cheap insurance to find things or use it.
Yeah, as long as the price reflects that, that's all right. Yeah. Good one, nice pick, Patrice. What have you got for us, mate?
Yeah, I'm hoping. I seem to have some issues with Skype, so I hope you can still hear me. Basically,
it's a bit ropey. Do you want to try dialing back in and then let me edit?
Yeah, I can try. Give me a second. I will do this.
And by edit, you mean leave this.
This is how the sausage gets made.
Oh, and it's worse.
Oh, it might be worse.
Wow.
Oh,
yeah. I'm seeing that it's dropping packets, but the connection is fine, so it's just...
It's me. It's got to be me. It's always me.
Because the other guys look fine, so I think it might be somewhere with my...
It's improved a little bit. Go on then, try that.
Okay, so my pick is a Git app for iOS. I have most of my blogs and podcasts and whatever basically in Git. I manage them through Git repository simply because I have versioning and I have easy access to everything. But recently, since I got my iPad Pro, I wanted to do that also with the iPad. And I was somewhere out and about and I wanted to post an episode of the podcast, I think Deconstruct. So I was looking for a really good Git app, and working seems to be a really solid one. It was recommended on a couple of sites, so I tried it. I think the app itself is free, but I think if you want to push something to any server, then you have to buy the in-app purchase. But you get a I think a month for free or something, so you can try it. The in-app purchase is like 17 pounds or dollars or whatever. So it's not for a productivity app, it's not too bad. So it's a very simple app. It works great. It gives you a great overview for your Git repositories, and it can interact with other apps in the system. So I basically can edit something in Jorvil and then push it through a working copy, for example. And that's really great. So I highly recommend working copy.
Cool. So this is for iOS, Patrice?
This is for iOS, yes.
Working copy powerful Git client.
Yes.
Does it set up a local repo then too on the iPad?
It does.
Okay.
It's just basically cloning it into the local storage and then you can work there.
Nice.
Excellent. Good pick, mate. Thank you very much. My cool thing is Cyclops. I like sticking to the speed limit. I do stick to the speed limit and have done for a very long time, or I try to. It doesn't always happen. But Cyclops is a really good app that is a very visible display on your iPhone if you've got it on your dashboard. It was introduced to me by Mark from Hoya, who told me all about it while we were driving back from Manchester to Wrexham. And then he gave me a demo of it, and it was quite interesting because we went into a mobile speed cam area, and the screens just changed. I mean, it was very visible. It went from being a black screen that was showing a simple miles per hour speed limit to then showing me this hatched orange thing with a warning symbol of the fact of what the actual speed limit was in the road and the fact that regularly mobile speed cameras go up and down this route. And it doesn't mean that there's any there, but it says, you know, they are there potentially. And then we actually went past one. Mark reported it using the application, and it started showing us all the people who were reporting it at the same time or near to the same time as us, how many people were on our route and were going to benefit from it. And also then all the people that we were saving, if you like, from getting the speeding tickets, which was kind of cool. So it's free to download the basic one, but then it's a trial version. If you want the UK and Ireland version for 1 year, it's £2.99. If you want the whole of Europe, then it's £20. Just German and Austria is £2.99. Benelux countries are £2.99. And Nordic countries are £2.99. I don't think it's available for the US, but I think you've probably got one that does the same thing quite easily. But I've seen a few of these, and I've looked at Waze and that kind of stuff, but I actually thought this one was a better UI. It was a better feeling when I was using it. And the fact that it reacted so quickly when we actually went past the mobile speed camera was just brilliant. Really, really good. Dead impressed. Signed up for it. Love it. Use it all the day. Brilliant. Thanks, fellas. Where can we get a hold of you, Doc?
You can find me on the internet under @DOCROCK just about anywhere. Also, check out the new podcast. It's at solid.fm. I finally got my domain up and running. Note to self, stop shooting podcasts in 4K. The editing takes forever. And you can also find me on this lovely network.
Excellent, right. Mate. Thank
you. You edit that part, make it shorter.
The little pause, yeah. Where are you, Adam?
You can find me at maccast.com or Maccast on iTunes and Maccast pretty much all over the interwebs. And occasionally, it's becoming less frequent, but we are doing a show, I think, this week over at the iOS show at theiosshow.com.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Where are you, Chuck?
You can find everything at macvoices.com. I'm on Twitter as Chuck Joyner. And if you don't mind, you know, I'm going to plug two interviews that I really would love for you to go watch. They're both from MacStock. I was able to interview the youngest attendee of MacStock and the oldest attendee of MacStock. The youngest is 11 years old, and I'm not going to spoil it for you, but you really need to pay attention to this kid and how he's using his technology. And what he's doing with it, because it gives you a whole new window into the way the kids are doing it. And then the oldest attendee was 89, and she is just absolutely lovely. If I make it to 89 and I'm anything like her, I will be delighted. So those are both, they're very short. They're only about 5 or 6 minutes each, but they really are fun. So please. And thank you for having me. It's always a blast here.
Excellent, mate. We'll have you back every time we possibly can. Superb. And lastly, Patrice, where the hell are you, buddy?
Well, as always, every week here on the Mac Show, and everything I do at thepatrice.com.
Excellent, mate. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can find me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter, British Tech on Twitter as well. The Kyle is doing the Daily Show every single day. If you like that, then get yourself over and subscribe to it. And also, if you like the new show, you can now set it as your Alexa flash briefing.
Nice.
Yep. So when you in the morning say, give me my flash briefing Alexa, she will tell you all of the stuff that's gone on. It'll be Kyle's voice that comes out of the Alexa. You've got to set it up as a skill, but it's there, it's ready, it's done. If you have any trouble with it, then speak to Campion at Campion UK in the Slack room or on Twitter, and he'll tell you the lowdown on how to go about doing it. But you can have Kyle Swagger as your flash briefing on your Amazon Echo.
Wow, that's really cool.
I want to say a big thank you to Dougie as well, because the other week we were talking about the commemorative badges from Apple, and he had a spare set from the Canadian Olympics, and he sent them to me for the new premises. So thank you, Dougie. That's awesome. They're going to go next to Chris Eschweiler's Apollo patches that he sent me. It's very, very sweet here, and I'm very, very grateful. There you go, John. First Mac Show live. How was that? All right.
Good.
Sorted. You won't have to listen to it on download now in crap internet Australia. Not that it's not crap here, because it's bloody awful here. We're on a 3G dongle. We've done okay. We've done okay for a 3G dongle. Can't complain.
Not bad. Just tell Patrice, you know, he should know better being in German, but you got to close the submarine hatch before you dive.
Oh, yeah.
We've got internet coming here on the 10th. Thanks to Warwick Net for doing that and stuff BT Openreach, who were the bastards that have caused the problem, the delay. So we will have internet on the 10th of August, so everything should be normal from there on in. But I don't know if we'll try this again or not, but we'll see. Take care, and thanks for listening.